And thank you for bearing with us on our board calendar. It's been Christmassy in Powell River since the Halloween decorations came down. First of November, there I was, shoppers for a mart, going in for the discount candy, walked out with two advent calendars. They were all special, 2 for 5, I'm pretty sure they were last year's, they were awful. But my congregation will tell you, I've been counting down the days to Christmas since June, because it is that big a deal. Tonight, however, whether you are a Sunday every week attender from hell or high water, an occasional attender who was dragged here by a family member, or someone who just comes at Christmas and Easter, congratulations, you are a regular church attender. It just depends how regular. And the question is not how often, the question is why. And the answer, which is the Sunday school go-to, if you weren't listening or paying attention, those who went to Sunday school know what I mean, the answer is Jesus. We do all of this, not because we're feeling festive or because we're missing Halloween decorations, but because all of us, in some moment of our lives, in some place, have had that feeling that whispers, the feeling that pulls, the feeling that there is something bigger than ourselves out there, and it pulls us with an irresistible temptation to want to believe. It is that feeling that swells up in us in moments of joy where we feel overwhelmed by gratitude. It is that feeling that makes people run towards chaos to help and put themselves at risk. It is the feeling that is unexplainable by anything else than the existence of God. On Christmas, we remember and welcome once more that God into our lives in the person of a tiny child, in the same way that we were all welcomed into this world, except this one was found in a feeding trough, surrounded by cold and filth and irregular people that we'll get to, in an obscure town that nobody cared about or that living. Now you fast forward 2,000 years or so to the here and now in Powell River, and this morning I woke up a little late, and despite my usual annual promise to myself that I would actually get through a bunch of things before Christmas Eve, I was set upon by the realization that actually almost all that stuff was not done. And even though it's been Christmas in the stores for 2 months, I have not been paying attention to that, and I have not dropped off cards for the neighbours. There is shopping that is not done. There are cards that have not been sent to family in England. Sorry about that. I've not done any baking. And I haven't written a sermon. Awkward. And I wonder if any of you have had a similar list that you're just so glad now that it's Christmas Eve and it's like, oh, it doesn't matter. So sitting with my coffee this morning, I wondered if the angel of the Lord has ever appeared to anybody, kind of like Dobby the house elf in Harry Potter, and just, with a click of the fingers, just been like, boom, it's happening, it's all done, it's all done. And I began to hear again those words, do not be afraid. Angels are always saying stuff like that, which leads me to believe they're not beautiful, they're actually terrifying. Do not be afraid. And I fully embrace that greeting on nights like this and mornings where the sermon isn't done, because it's the only way that you can cope with the pressure, the stress, the fear of not living up to the expectations of Christmas, or work, or parenting, or paperwork, or bills, or insert any of the things that you've been stressed about this week here. And I'm not even talking about the stress of gift-giving or Christmas shopping, because spoiler alert, everyone in my family in the UK is getting those maple sandwich biscuits. I send them every single year. They love it. They're mad for it. They went early to summer. But why do we give gifts at Christmas? Why bother? It is so stressful. Literally don't know anybody who loves Christmas shopping. Like, is there anybody here who loves Christmas shopping? Getting a nod from Will. I'm not surprised you already. The reason that we give gifts at Christmas is because even a box of biscuits that we all know cost $2.99, but my family think are the greatest thing on earth, can be a reminder But God gave the greatest gift of all when he gave his son to the world. Because the world is screwed up so bad and people were struggling so much. And God wanted to find a way that was personal and tactile and real and tangible, and people could see it to say, come back to me. And when Jesus was born, the world was not so different as it is now. The Romans were in power, very good at building roads. Go to England, they're very straight. Very good at conquering people and very good at killing anyone who stood up to them. Now, you may be sitting here thinking, crikey, how much has it really changed? Turn on the news, it's disgusting, the world is an absolute mess. Governments in disarray, divisions, right-wing politics, giving racism and homophobia, a new voice, refugees fleeing violence, war, the rich poor divide. You're going to go, why? It's meant to be uplifting, it's Christmas. It can feel like the world is a mess. And it's not so different then than the first Christmas. Mary and Joseph were off to Bethlehem so they could be registered. Mary was a young peasant girl, she would have been about 15. She gives birth to her firstborn son, like so many women did that night, like so many women will tonight. But why is this kid's story told again and again and still told 2,000 years later? In a nutshell, because this kid turns out to be the son of God, fully human, fully divine, grew up like you and me, cheeky at times, yes, that's in the Bible, subject to the same temptations as you and I, to advent calendars, yes, he would have, faced suffering and pain, unfairly persecuted, sentenced to death because humanity could not bear the truth, the beauty of the gospel, which says, love God, because God loves you. Every single one of you is loved, even the folks who are just here once a year. Everyone is worthy. Everyone is enough. You are enough. The baby Jesus, born in Bethlehem, was not a quick fix like dumping a house elf. And that's frustrating, because I don't know about you, but like I look at the Ukraine war and I'm like, come on, Dobby, I want the quick fix. Come on, God. What are you doing? Sometimes when I turn on the news, my shoulders sag because I feel like the world is a dark place. And what I go to in the scriptures that we heard this evening is that everyone who's ever gone before us has known that. The prophet Isaiah, the first reading, said, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Oh. Isaiah speaks about a kingdom where everybody is living God's way. His authority shall grow continually and there shall be endless peace. Imagine that, endless peace. God will establish this with justice, with righteousness forevermore. And the message for us is behave this way, do this to one another, right? So what the story of Jesus, this particular baby, has been told again and again. Because with Jesus, with the Jesus way, there is everlasting peace. There would be an end to war and violence if we all treated each other like we were meeting Jesus in every single person, which is what we're supposed to do, and it's really, really good. What if the world was ruled with justice and righteousness? In that world, there would be nothing to be afraid of, not even if an angel suddenly popped up in your room and was like, don't be afraid! You'd be like, well, I never am. In the Bible, God's messengers are constantly saying, don't be afraid, and it's a nice story. The angel appears above the fields of Bethlehem, the sheep fields, and shepherds. And then we see like really beautiful pictures of Jesus, like with a lamb on his shoulder, like he's been all glamorous and clean. Shepherds were like the fringes of society. They were like tramps who lived in fields and smelled like sheep, and some of them looked like sheep. And they were generally considered to be very untrustworthy. They were like the least. Right? So they were shoved out there to do this dirty, dangerous job with sheep. It was very sweet, but very stupid. And all of society looked down on them. And those people still exist. They just don't tend sheep anymore. But there are people that we as a society look down on. And they're out in the fields, and it's those people that the angels would go to tonight. Because God chooses the last to be first. God chose the shepherds, the least likely, in the middle of the darkness, to be the first to hear that this unique, special baby had been born. So they went to check it out for themselves. And I imagine they stank. I would imagine they'd been drinking, because if I had to sleep with sheep every night, I'd probably get would be heavy into the scotch. I imagine that they were a fairly clearly intimidating group of men, because if you've got to throw sheep around or ward off wolves, you're probably a little bit hench. And I imagine that on entering that stable, Joseph felt afraid of his new family. But somehow, they were open to one another. Those are the thin moments where God does what God does best. And after that visit, we hear that the shepherds left rejoicing and proclaiming, and they went back to their sheep. Back to the darkness, but carrying a new light. Oh. They knew, suddenly, that they were worthy. They knew that God was at dark, in the dangerous dark times that they lived in. Like God is now. In this world, there will always be some darkness when you turn on your television. Or you open your Facebook feed, that's actually the worst. And I know that for some of you, Christmas might not be a particularly easy time. This Christmas may not be any bad time. But do not be afraid, as the angel says, because there is hope. The light in the darkness is not a quaint light of flickering church candles. The light growing in the darkness appears every time one of us chooses what is right instead of what is easy. Every time we show kindness and love to those in society that are deemed unworthy. And we give to those who are suffering. So this year, tomorrow or tonight or whenever it is that you do it, it should be tomorrow. When you've given your gifts this Christmas, take a moment to share with your kids, your grandkids. Take a moment to remind yourself that you are giving because you are intimidating, you are imitating God. You are imitating the God who gave the greatest gift of all, his Son, who invites all of us back into relationship with God, constantly, in every moment, in every time, in every place. God calling us and saying, do not be afraid. That's what Christmas is about. And the idea is that after we give those gifts, we spend the rest of the year trying to live that moment in the memory of God. And that's it. That's what we've got. Merry Christmas.